Living in Two Worlds. Bella stomped to her room and slammed the door. "Why?" she shouted at the walls. "Why can't I, for once, have a birthday party?" She lay on the bed and buried her face in the pillow. Her grandmother didn't believe in birthday parties. "All that fuss and focus," she said. "It's not good for kids." Bella had lived with her grandmother since she was 4 years old. Her grandmother had rescued her from an orphanage. She was kind, but she had strict rules. She was living in the Dark Ages, and this was the 21st century. It was as if her grandmother was holding on to something in the past, something she didn't want to let go. Bella's grandmother's house was a technological desert. No television, no way of downloading games or music, and certainly no cell phone. "Kids today are not thinking," her grandmother said. "Your grandfather wouldn't have approved." Bella sniffed into the pillow. Tomorrow was speech day, a nightmare. She had left it to the last minute again. She could never think of a topic. Most speeches were so boring, except for Simon Sisson's speech called Bananas. He delivered it in a voice like a robot. The class thought it was hilarious, but Mr. Barlow didn't. He said, "A good speech needs to make people think or feel." Simon thought his speech did make people feel. It made them feel like laughing. Bella stood in front of the class, turning over her cue cards. "The house that I live in with my grandmother," she began, "has been the same since my grandfather died 50 years ago. The same wallpaper, paint, and antique furniture. The curtains are always closed to keep out the sun. Every night, I have to iron the napkins we will use at dinner and polish the silver cutlery until I can see my face in the spoon." Bella paused. "We eat off plates as thin as paper and drink water from crystal glasses as if we are royalty. I have to set the table with a place for my grandfather. Gentry, my grandmother says, that's what he was." Glancing up from her cue cards, Bella could see sympathetic glances passing between her classmates. She continued with her speech, confident now, her voice changing pitch, more dramatic. Her audience was listening to every word. They had no idea. "There is no television or computer in my house, and of course, no playing on tablets or sending text messages. My grandfather would have hated it, or so I am told. My life is far better, though, than what it would have been in the orphanage. There, I was always hungry, and the clothes I wore didn't belong to me. I slept under thin blankets in a dormitory with 50 other kids who kept me awake crying for their mothers." Bella looked up from her cue cards with a steady gaze. "I'm glad my grandmother rescued me. She is kind, but once, just once, I would love a birthday party. Not to get presents, just to feel what it would be like to have a special day of my own. My grandmother says, no birthday parties ever. So here I am, going to school in one century and going home to a world in another." Bella sat down. She could see some kids with wet eyes, and Mr. Barlow was blowing his nose.
"That," said Mr. Barlow, "was a real speech. It made us think. It made us feel, really feel. I would like a copy."
On her birthday morning, Bella's grandmother had the usual present: two neatly wrapped handkerchiefs and a pair of socks. It was impossible for Bella to hide her disappointment as she picked up her bag and headed out the door. "Bella," her grandmother called after her. "Your teacher called. He said you did a great speech, the best, in fact. I am delighted you are trying hard, so I thought, seeing as it is your birthday, we'll go to the park after school for an ice cream." "An ice cream? That was all?" "Oh, well, they never had ice cream, only the rice pudding her grandfather liked. Ice cream would sort of be a treat." When Bella arrived at the park, she couldn't believe her eyes. There was her grandmother wearing large purple sunglasses, a bright orange spotted dress, and stripy socks with boots. "Happy birthday!" she shrieked in a voice Bella had never heard her use before. Then out from the bushes bounced Mr. Barlow and Bella's entire class carrying plates of party food. It was a real party right there in the park. Balloons in the trees, sausages on the barbecue, and a chocolate cake with candles. There were presents like Bella had never had before. But one of the best parts was to see her grandmother shrieking around in her unusual clothes, as if she were a kid again. "Bella," said her grandmother when they got home, "Mr. Barlow read me your speech. It really made me think. I have been living the way your grandfather would have liked, wrapped up in memories of a world past." She turned to the photo that stared seriously down from the wall. "Bert," she said, "it's time for Bella and me to live in the 21st century. Bella's grandmother waved her hand around the room. "There's going to be new furniture, new paint, new carpet, new curtains, and a new me." "Does that mean," asked Bella hesitantly, "a computer and television?" "Possibly," grinned her grandmother. "But that doesn't mean there won't be rules for some things."